Toucher.
He turned out to be a real jerk.
Rich.
He's a disruptive influence.
It's the Toucher and Rich Show.
Well, who's going to relate to that?
Get in touch with Toucher and Rich. Call 617-779-0985. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Opening day, 2013. Baseball springs eternal. It's opening day. The feds might show up and take me away. The birds begin singing. The trees start to bloom. The setbacks will surface. The losses, the gloom. Things couldn't get much worse.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. It's an old intro right there. Oh, bringing back memories of about 2 months ago.
Little fire starter. Twisted fire starter.
They were so scary, they were never heard of. Heard from again.
The Prodigy, right?
That's Prodigy, yeah. Baby.
Uh-huh.
That guy had all, he had jewelry in his face. He said that I have a piercing in my eyebrow, and you went, wow, that's not something that men usually do. So that's usually a feminine thing, but you're crossing boundaries, and good for you, guy from Prodigy. I am back, nothing better than choking on your own acid in the middle of the night. Real fun.
So this was a stomach thing, it wasn't a flu thing?
No, I don't know what it was, but I was, it's not good. It's not something that, and I won't take calls on it because it's just going to scare me. But my stomach acid was coming up into my throat, and I would wake up, like, not being able to breathe and freaking out.
That's not good.
No.
Because I know that there's this new flu thing that's going on. Like, it's you thought it was over with, and everyone thought we were safe, but there is a second round of flu that I just read in one of the papers that it's apparently just as bad. Like, basically, people are going to get the same flu twice. There's this a misunderstanding that if you get the flu, you're kind of immune from it for a while, but mm-hmm. that is obviously not the case, and it's coming back around, and now it's hit all the schools again, and I think my son might have it. So it's just everyone's getting sick again.
I think my wife might have it.
Yeah. It's no joke.
Again, she had strep throat earlier, and then she might have it again. Maybe it was the stomach flu. I don't know what the hell it was. All I know is that I haven't had the flu this year. And I just woke up gasping for air, thinking, what the hell's going on? Jeez. So I'm sure I have a hiatal hernia.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is going to really...
You're right. Don't take calls on this.
No. I'm sure I have a hiatal hernia, which is what there's so many people in my family have. And I guess this is not pleasant. That means that the valve that opens and closes, like going to your stomach, is pried open.
Hmm.
So everything comes up.
It's a two-way street.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to be a two-way street.
Right.
Villanova won the national championship last night, and what's funny is that they greased up poles like they did for the
Super
Eagles.
Bowl. Yeah.
Do you know where Villanova is?
Yes. I know exactly where it is.
How many
downtown Philadelphia has nothing to do with it.
Nor
it's
do
in
they
this
care.
Posh suburb about 20, 25 miles west.
So people in Philadelphia didn't celebrate?
They might have celebrated, but certainly nothing like they would have for the Eagles.
Correct.
Villanova is where my father-in-law lives.
Yes.
And it's like a really, really, really nice suburb.
I mean...
And you can't even tell the college is there. The college is really small, mm-hmm. and you can't even tell it's there. In fact, I don't know how those kids get to bars if you don't have a car. You can't walk to anything from
beautiful
there.
Beautiful tree-lined street. Nice campus. In a great suburb, you know, it's Pleasantville out there.
I mean, the schools riot, in quotations, and people will throw, like, mattresses out the window. That's happened at Michigan State.
Yeah.
But in terms of greasing up the poles and everything, I'm like, what are you doing?
You don't think Philly fans are just looking for a reason to go out and drink and climb poles?
Probably.
See, I, 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 I have to think that there's going to be videos of people in downtown Philly from last night doing stupid stuff.
I'm sure that there's people who went out and they just decided to go nuts again because they had so much fun when it was the Eagles.
Yeah, not to the level of riding a four-wheeler up the Rocky Stairs like it was at the Super Bowl.
Minor league compared to...
Oh, of course.
Well, how many people were at the Eagles parade?
Oh, a zillion. I mean, that was huge.
Everybody showed up for that.
That was massive.
Like, I don't think Villanova has a parade. Would a private college located 20 miles from the city center have a parade in downtown Philadelphia?
I wouldn't think so.
That would be like if Michigan had a parade in Detroit. Michigan's in Ann Arbor. And, it, you know, it's close enough where you could commute to Ann Arbor into the city. But there's no way they would have a... Now, Michigan may riot. It would be a very expensive riot for a very good, very good students. But I don't think that they would have. I just thought it was funny that now the big thing is greasing poles.
And the videos that subsequently come afterwards of people busting their ass trying to climb a greased pole.
Yeah.
I'm all about that.
Now, why would you... Isn't that kind of evolution? Survival of the fittest? If you're trying to climb a pole and you get that high and you fall off, you've seen that in person, right?
Okay. Well, I saw a guy climb a pole and hang over the street when I was at Las Vegas for Y2K. I was there in 99 going into 2000, and they shut down the whole strip, and there was a guy hanging on a pole that hung over the street right there on the main drag, right in front of Paris and the Bellagio. And at midnight, I took my camera down, and I'd been filming the guy, and at midnight I kissed my wife, and then I went back and watched the tape, and the guy's not there. Apparently the dude fell to his death at the stroke of midnight.
Oh, Jesus.
And cracked his neck.
Oh, man.
So not realizing that happened like 10 feet from me at the time,
Yeah. The
next morning I see the headlines, I go back and check the videotape, I'm like, I think that's the guy, and we watch it, and sure enough, there he is at 11:59 hanging there going, and everyone's cheering him on, and then at midnight I take the camera away and I don't realize that he had fallen immediately afterwards.
By the way, Villanova did have a victory parade in downtown Philadelphia 2 years ago.
Now, did they give you an estimate of the crowd?
It just said thousands showed up.
Okay.
That doesn't... Center City, thousands. And they had a rally at City Hall after it was over, so maybe they do it again. I thought you were right. I mean, that...
Well, it's removed.
And as a matter of fact, I think Jay Wright told the mayor at the time, thank you for hosting us in from the suburbs. Thank you for allowing us to be here.
Well, Philadelphia's a big city. Thousands of people. I mean, let's say 1,000 people at any point are walking around the city center. But if you grease the poles, I mean, well, who are you really helping? That's the... City, you know how much manpower that is and how much taxpayer money that must be?
I'm thinking that's a pain in the ass to clean off after it's over,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's right. You got to clean the thing off afterwards.
Can't leave the grease up there.
No.
That's no good.
So all for what? All for
good
two
internet
guys?
Videos. It's just because they know they want to go viral.
Yeah.
Well, say two people climb poles mm-hmm. and fall.
You save two people.
From themselves.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a big waste of time. But if they want to do it for Villanova, they can do it for Villanova. I had to ask John what the score was when I came in today.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, I was in bed at like 6 in
Michigan
the afternoon.
Had no chance.
Yeah,
after the first 10 minutes, the game was over.
It was fun, though. For such a blowout, it was actually entertaining because Villanova was just so dominant.
Yeah.
I mean, DiVincenzo was... He was, first of all, he was everywhere, not only doing the three-point shots, and he's so awkward-looking when he does it. Like, at one point, he blocked a guy with two hands.
The guy went up for a dunk, and DiVincenzo blocked him with two hands before he got to the rim.
I mean, it was great. Like, he was everywhere, and you're like, this isn't supposed to happen.
Like, Villanova was the top offensive team in the country this year. They have, like, five or six guys that can score, and they're the best player in the nation. Jalen Brunson had foul trouble for most of the game, so DiVincenzo just stepped in, scored 31 off the bench, and Villanova won going away.
And next thing you know, there's going to be big-time riots.
That's right.
The next thing you know...
Classes are canceled, I'm imagining, today, you know?
You got to cancel classes.
Sure you do.
It's a big day.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder how many kids are going to wake up choking on their own acid from their stomach. And just say to yourself, like, the fear of drowning in your own... It's like Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
Is that how he died?
Yeah,
it's like Mama Cass.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Well, it wasn't vomit. I'll say that. It was stomach acid.
It was him and John Bonham, right? Of Zeppelin?
John Bonham. I believe Janis Joplin.
Yeah.
I believe they all died of choking on their own vomit.
Did any of this pass through your mind while this was happening 24 hours ago?
No, because okay. I wasn't throwing up. Oh, it was just right. My stomach acid was getting into my throat.
Oof.
And then I would wake up and I'd be like,
oh, man.
I had a roommate when I was a freshman in college who I came in and I heard this. We were both asleep, and in the middle of the night, I heard this. And I look over, and he's lying on his back, and he's vomiting all over his face.
Oh!
And there's that point where I'm sitting there, and I'm going, what do I do? And I'm like, oh, crap. And I immediately just jump up, and I turn him on his side. And I'm like, I thought about all those guys who had choked on their own vomit.
Yeah.
I'm like, I got to turn this guy. So I turned him on his side, and I didn't clean any of it up. I just let him
do
it.
Well, that's not your job.
I know. But it was
saving
that moment.
His life might be your job, like, but not
did you tell him the next
him
day you saved his life?
No. I'll just hold that over him one day if I ever need to.
In case you need a favor?
In case I need a favor. I saved your life. I haven't talked to the guy. Like, he was one of those roommates I had where I like never saw. Like, I never saw him except to tilt him on his side to vomit.
Sure.
You know, I had that roommate that wrote in the school newspaper about how stupid his roommate was because he would have sex with his girlfriend in the room. And it was my roommate, but I knew I was in trouble because when I came into school the first day, it was a blind roommate. It was, you know, they didn't tell you who you were staying with.
Yeah, yeah.
He had Calvin and Hobbes newspaper clippings all over the room.
Oh.
Rich, go ahead.
All right. So on the whole stomach acid issue, I know you said you didn't want to take calls on it, but this has happened to me a couple of times, and it's just bad acid reflux. So if you have, too much pasta or something, it'll happen. And honestly, it happens more when you lay on a certain side. For some reason, the way your stomach is shaped, when you lay on a certain side, it allows some of the acid to come back up.
Oh.
So if you have a lot of stomach acid issues, like acid reflux, that can happen. I usually wake up gasping for air, take about 4 tums, lay back down.
All right, well, thank you. That's a rare call saying that I'll be fine.
Listen on the go with the new 98.5 The Sports Hub app. The Golf Club on Boston's home for sports.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Talking about the game is no game.
Stop, you're making me laugh so hard. What you're doing is so funny.
Toucher and Rich.
You're on a roll, I am busting a gut. Stop.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed.
Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last week?
Well, Villanova steamrolled everyone in their way right to a championship.
DiVincenzo walking it up. 5 seconds, 4 seconds. That's going to do it. Michigan ran into a supernova tonight for the second time in 3 years. Nova is number one. Villanova, your 2018 national champion.
And all I want to know is who got Jim Nance's tie. That's it.
Oh, that's a big deal.
But who gets the tie?
All right. I also want to address what Boomer Esiason had to say during the CBS Sports Minute.
Fred, very angry during the break.
Saying that Gus Johnson came up with the name Big Ragu for this kid. Is he unaware of television at all? A seminal show in the 80s, late 70s, early 80s, is Laverne and Shirley, whose main supporting actor was the Big Ragu.
I'm hoping I'm not, you know, breaking any barriers or giving everyone a peek behind the curtain. I'm thinking a 21-year-old wrote that script and Boomer, without thinking, just read it.
Yeah,
that is my feeling. I could be completely off base that Boomer doesn't actually write these, but I'm thinking a 21-year-old intern wrote that and thought that Gus Johnson had actually invented it, and Boomer, without thinking, because he has about 10 of these to record a morning, just read it.
Boomer's got other things he's worrying about right now, like getting in fights with Mike Francesa, apparently.
Yes.
Yeah, he got very angry yesterday because Mike and the Mad Dog were together on High Heat. Is that right? The MLB show that I know that Mad Dog does, and they're ripping on the current talent at their station, and Boomer did not like that whatsoever.
No, they had the program director in and said, are you aware of all this? But the Big Ragu just needs to come in. do ballet, and then you underestimate him. You say, hey, what's up, girly man? And then he starts kicking everyone's ass,
mm-hmm.
which was his want.
Well, a game that started off by having one of the largest spreads in NCAA championship game history even blew those numbers away as Villanova easily crushes Michigan 79-62. The Wildcats won every one of their games in the tournament by double digits. Only three other teams have done that since 1985. And one of the reasons for that was a guy who wasn't even a starter, six-man Dante DiVincenzo. And afterwards, this is him talking about how awesome he is.
You've had some nights where you've really filled it up, but doing this on this stage, what was this night like for you?
Honestly, it was credit to these guys up here. They did a great job of making it difficult for Jalen and Mikhail. And they were just making the right play. They were trying to be aggressive, and they were finding me. And Amari was setting great screens, getting me open.
Yeah, he came off the bench and scored 31 points. He was named most outstanding player, also set a record for most points scored by a non-starter in the championship game. It was kind of funny. I mean, the dude just couldn't be stopped. Defensively, offensively, he was everywhere. And even at one point, didn't he like slap himself on the ass while winking on the side? I mean, it was like a joke for them. It was such a walk in the park.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been doing that the entire tournament. Villanova, they are now your championship. Grease up the poles, everybody, and bust out the video cameras. Is there any audio from last night of anybody rioting in the streets? Is everyone got Villanova fever?
Well, Dan Roach was probably going nuts. It's his son's alma mater.
Wore the Villanova baseball shirt in yesterday, in fact.
Yep, he was extremely excited. Very excited.
Villanova, again, is located in an idyllic part of outside of Philadelphia. And it's where my stepfather lives. And I always kind of feel sorry for the kids. I know that they're getting a great education and that they're in a school that I couldn't have sniffed. But there's nothing around there. And it's not like Penn State, which is in the middle of nowhere, but there's like a whole thriving town
mm-hmm.
that's just
built around
going out and getting drunk.
Yeah.
Like Villanova, you would have to take a bus to get
to the mainline train to get to.
No, not even if you're going into Philly. You would have to take a bus to get into a town where there are bars and restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like 2.5-3 miles away, and you're not going to hoof that in the winter. So there you go, Villanova, a fantastic school, not the greatest location.
Mm-hmm. Well, last night, Hanley goes off at Jeter Park.
Not running this time, and that one tagged. A shot to left. Back it goes. It is gone. Hanley Ramirez back in Miami and loving it. His first home run of the season. A two-run drive with Big Poppy looking on and makes it 5-1 Sox.
That is Nesson, and Hanley Ramirez delivers a gem in front of 11,000 people at Marlins Park. 11,000.
No, there weren't 11,000.
Major League Baseball, catch the fever.
Right, let me ask you something. You have 11,000 people in the ballpark. Say 8,000 of them were Bostonians, because that's what it was.
Right.
What happens when
the Padres come to town?
How many people are going to be in that ballpark then?
I've seen it before. There's been times where you could count the number of people, mm-hmm. and it was under 1,000.
Yeah, well, 11,000 is what was reported, and it's never that amount. I mean, if you took a look, there was probably 6,000 people at that park.
Everyone was behind home plate.
Right.
Everyone had a ticket. I can go anywhere. No one's going to stop me. All 6,000 people were behind home plate.
But then there's always like goody two shoes people that sit by the right field.
I paid for this 300 section. I'm going to stay in the 300 section.
Yep.
They just sit there and then they do a pan shot of the field and just two losers.
Why is that guy there? Right.
Or a guy who's asleep. There's always a guy who's asleep by himself.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not just the Marlins either. Did you see that clip that everyone was bragging about Bryce Harper? Somebody said overrated, and Bryce Harper, you know, hits it's a home run right in front of him. And they show the crowd, and there's no one there. And that was actually at the Nationals.
Yes,
right?
It was at the Nationals park, and the Nationals are
exciting.
To be good.
Did they get snow? No, this was an Easter. I think it was an Easter game. It was the day before Easter.
New York got snowed out. New York got 7 inches yesterday.
Yeah. No, the one from Bryce Harper was before all the snow stuff. I think it was Saturday.
That's right.
Game. And that's inexcusable. I mean, that's a good team. Mm-hmm. Okay, but the Marlins, I'm watching that game last night and I'm thinking to myself, okay, it's just a field full of who's that guy? Mm-hmm. Do you think that the Marlins have one player in the top 50 jerseys sold in Major League Baseball?
No. Try extend that out 100. I don't know if they track that.
Because there's always got to be like one that's just by default that the guys who live in Miami who don't even watch baseball will wear like a Marlins jersey.
No, because there's like about five Yankees that would be out
there's
of that.
There's one guy who is decent in that lineup. It's the first baseman, Boer. He's the one guy who you could look at and go, okay, this guy could actually hurt me if I throw him a fastball down the middle of the plate. This team was put together to finish last.
Yeah.
This is like an original Major League movie type last. I mean, I was reading John Heyman of FanRag Sports, we've had him on, did his Major League Baseball preview and, you know, odds for winning the World Series, and the Marlins are like 1,000,000 to 1. This team could be historically bad, like 40 wins and 120 losses bad.
Did you see the picture that I tweeted out yesterday when the catcher for the Marlins came up? All of the Jumbotron, just the word Wallach
was
everywhere.
Chad Wallach. I did see that.
Wallach is everywhere.
Yep, he is.
Well, either way, Hanley goes off and the Sox win over the Marlins, 7-3 the final score. Brian Johnson ended up giving the Sox their fifth solid start in a row. Here he is afterwards.
I felt good. You know, Christian and I, you know, stuck to the game plan basically the whole time. You know, other than the 2-0 fastball up and away, it's pretty good.
You got to feel pretty good about the starting rotation, John Wallach, after these first
I'm stunned.
Few days.
I thought Hector Velasquez couldn't get out of the first inning, couldn't get out of his warm-ups without guys hitting line or line drives at him. He pitched really well. Brian Johnson was really good in the spring, so you kind of saw this coming. Anything they get from the back two guys in the rotation is a bonus before they get Eduardo Rodriguez back and get some help. I'm stunned. Both guys pitched really well, and because they pitched really well, you're 4-1, and you get to pitch Chris Sale tonight.
I'm taking a look here, and I just saw that, you know, the Marlins played the Cubs before this, and they averaged 10,400.
Yeah, that is the most popular team. They're the Notre Dame of Major League Baseball.
Right.
Seriously, all the people who weren't Cub fans are now Cub fans. I don't need to tell you this, Fred, and they only had 10,000 people in the ballpark for that. And Red Sox fans travel extremely well, and you had 11,000.
I mean, I would say that Yankees and Red Sox, much bigger draws there than there would be the Cubs. Because everyone moves down to Miami, and then they go nuts at a game in April and act like they just won the World Series when they win.
When do they play the Reds?
I'll look ahead.
That's the attendance that
I
want to see.
Yourselves. I'll check that out.
I want to see that number.
Yeah, I mean, they've shown aerial shots, and you could count. There was under 1,000 people. Yeah.
All right, you got the Phillies, the Mets, the Pittsburgh. You got Milwaukee coming in.
Okay, that'll be fun.
I mean, it's Cincinnati. That's Cincinnati. But either way, how about Atlanta? You know, that's May 10th.
Nah, because they're close. You know, there's probably some Atlanta fans because, you know, they're not too, you know, Georgia's right above. There's
San Diego is in June. We'll check that out.
All right. Yeah, the Padres, that'll be a good one. Well, the Red Sox finish up their two-game series against the Marlins. First pitch is at 6:10 this evening.
All right. So what do we have coming up, Rick?
We got a lot of Bruins news, and also there was a little glimmer of hope for Celtics fans yesterday, but Brad Stevens likes to step in and just smack people right back to reality. We'll get to that.
All right. We will be right back. Here are the headlines.
Tutcher.
Is this what you want?
And Rich.
Are you happy now?
Tutcher and Rich.
Ah, sick.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We are Tutcher and Rich. Rich, what else is going on?
Well, as the Celtics just finished miraculously coming off their best month since November, think about that. A team that for the majority of the month had no Kyrie, no Smart, no Tice, and with Jalen out for huge chunks with a concussion, there were random games they didn't have without Horford. They had the best month statistically since November, and during that time, they beat the Thunder, Raptors, Jazz, Portland. So yesterday comes a video from the Players' Tribune of Gordon Hayward jogging at the Celtics practice facility.
Brad Stevens wants to talk about.
No, but that looked pretty weak.
We even joked about it on the air when it was released yesterday. It came out like near the end of the show, and I'm just like, you know, people are going to freak out about it. The dude's just like lightly trotting. Like this is like, oh, this, you know what it is? It was a mall walker.
No, it looked like he was hurt. Yeah, I mean, that's what it looked like. He looked like it was a guy who was hurt.
Well, I mean, I'm not hurt. It just looked like somebody who's just being very cautious.
No, you show him doing suicides or something like that, and then you go, all right,
Moving
he's
side to side.
Yeah.
putting
some weight on his ankle, cutting.
Yeah. And I also like, why were they on the basketball court? Just like, you could have done that anywhere.
They didn't really have to do it there. Well, Brad Stevens was asked about it.
He's barely jogging.
I know, it is pretty funny. Brad Stevens, it's like he's on Kohl's. And whether this meant anything regarding Hayward returning this season.
I saw that
video. It's pretty slow running.
Marathon's only 46.
I was up there watching it the other morning when they did that. The next step of his progression is once every 3 days he gets on the court and does that. So as you can see, it was about 20% speed, nothing lateral, no jumping, you know, so long way away.
Yeah, I think at one point he was he's not coming back. So shot down in flames. Okay,
by the way, there were circles that they had to step in. I just noticed is that there were a series of circles. And then they would...
Oh, yeah, I see that.
Yeah, you see? Yeah. And then they put cones up for some unknown reason.
So he knows how to run straight, apparently.
Yeah, he's a mall walker.
He wants to make sure you stay close to the cones, you see. Yeah.
See, I didn't even notice he was trying to get like into them little circles right there. Let's see.
He is right there in the circles.
Yeah, you're right. Well,
it seems really unnecessary. It seems like we have just millions of dollars to spend on training.
No, it sounds like someone has a deal with the Players Tribune to leak out videos every once in a while.
No, but I'm saying that the Celtics, coming up and having someone come on the court to make the little things to step in, to have some guy run next to him, the cones, it all seems very unnecessary.
Well, if we can't get our hopes up regarding Gordon Hayward, then can we start getting excited about the return of Marcus Smart, Brad Stevens?
Nothing new. I mean, progress, but nothing new. Yeah, I mean, he's not. There's no enhanced timeline there. It's still 6 to 8 weeks from the surgery of basketball activity. He's not close to anything. He can run a little bit and do that stuff, but he can't do anything with the ball.
Okay, the only thing I'll take out of that is 6 to 8 weeks. Like, he's not saying that from now. He's saying
from the surgery. Okay. From the time the surgery occurred.
When he first said that, I'm like, are you still saying 6 to 8 weeks from now?
No.
Seems to be ridiculous. But either way, that's not good. But one guy who has been excellent for the Celtics while Kyrie has been healing is Terry Rozier, who injured his ankle during this past Saturday's Raptors game. He was asked whether he'll be returning for this evening.
I thought it was going to be my knee. It wasn't my knee. Then my Achilles started hurting after the game. And then by the time I got home, all the pain transferred to my ankle. And it ended up being my ankle. I watched him play like 10 times yesterday. Like I said, I'm fine.
Okay, he says he's fine. Well, that's a relief because without Rozier, the Celtics might be point guardless for this evening's game.
Well, he didn't practice yesterday.
Yep.
He did travel, which is more than you could say for Shane Larkin, who was just in the hospital for 4 days.
He's out.
Dealing with the flu you were talking about earlier in the show.
Yeah, he's been ruled out.
It is very possible that the Celtics will be without point guards, any point guards at all, tonight in Milwaukee.
Well, you know what that means? What it means we're going to get. Once again, point guard Jason Tatum taking over.
Well, actually, it's funny. Jaylen Brown said, yeah, I was a point guard. I played point guard when I was at Calma 1 year in school. They got people like volunteering. I'll do it.
Have we seen him play point guard this year?
No, it's been Tatum.
We've seen Horford and Tatum.
Those have been the two regularly that have done it.
Yeah. Well, I thought Tatum did a pretty good job, but I mean, now it's going to be... I mean, if Rozier doesn't play, it's almost going to be just funny to watch. I kind of want to see that.
And they'll still win.
Yeah, well, I mean,
and they'll still
the way they've been playing.
Somehow.
Sure,
yes.
Sure. He'll probably put Baines at point guard, seeing all the weird crap that Brad Stevens has been doing lately. But either way, you got Shane Larkin out. It looks like we're going to get an interesting one this evening. Tip-off, by the way, is at 8 p.m. And the Bruins have a chance to all but secure first place with a win against the Lightning this evening. Steven Stamkos, questionable, and may stay out until the playoffs. If I'm the Lightning, just keep him out to the playoffs. I don't know how bad this injury is, but I got to think if there's any
mild.
Kind of question, you're going to need that guy.
John Cooper went out of his way yesterday to say it's a mild lower body injury, and for Lightning fans, however many of them there are, not to panic.
Mm-hmm.
This is just a preventative measure. It did look kind of weird. I don't know if you saw it, Fred, when he got hurt a couple of nights ago. You know, it wasn't anything serious. He just got tangled up from front and came down wrong on the leg and skated off immediately and disappeared in the first period and didn't come back. So that, to me, if I'm a Lightning fan, I'm a little worried about that. But Cooper went out of his way to say it's not a big deal.
So the Bruins 2 points ahead right now. If they end up winning, it doesn't clinch it for them, but essentially they're going to finish in first
place. You'd be 4 points up and the Lightning would have 2 games left.
Right. And something else that happened yesterday that, to be quite honest, I'm still kind of amazed. Brad Marchand, you saw that cross-check that he gave Andrew McDonald from the Flyers right in the face. Many people thought he might be suspended, but instead he just got the $5,000 maximum fine that is allowable under the CBA. I think that is the one time we can step back and say that Brad Marchand did indeed get the star treatment. I think they also realized that getting close to the playoffs, that is a player that most people want to see on the ice. Didn't he just get the second star?
Second star of the week.
Yeah. So, or the month. I think it was for the month.
The month?
Yeah. So, obviously, the NHL realizes Brad Marchand is a star. They want him on the ice. That, with his track record, was shocking to me that he didn't get some sort of suspension. And that was something that wasn't even necessary. That's the kind of crap that you don't want to see Brad Marchand pull off. Because in a situation where it's going to be important, it's not like one of these where you're going after the puck. That was, the play was over. Marchand turns around. McDonald is on his knees or on his back, and he just takes the stick and jams it into his face. Completely unnecessary. Didn't have to happen. It was wide open. It wasn't even like one of those crafty moves that you can do where you can jab somebody in the ribs when nobody's looking. Wide open. Everybody saw it. It was completely dumb. He's got to cut that crap out of his game.
It's not going to happen.
Well, I
that's
know.
Part of him. That's you can't surgically remove that from him. See, he's always going to do that.
See, that's the one part of the that you should be able to remove. You should have the discipline to do.
Do you remember, what was it, last season or the season before, he went out of his way to try and tone that part of his game down, and his offensive game suffered?
Right.
It's part of him. I mean, it comes with the package. A guy who can score 35 or 40 goals, but you get the incredibly stupid nonsense at the other end of the ice.
I understand any kind of aggressive move that's during a play that you might not be able to get rid
of.
Maybe
McDonald was a pain in his ass around the net. We didn't see it. Maybe he just got frustrated. You want to talk about the star treatment? Brad Marchand is the top left wing on Team Canada in the Olympics or the World Championships.
Yes, he is not treated like a star. In fact, it goes against him.
You don't think he got some sort of...
No.
I think it's
impossible for him to get the star of treatment. I think he gets less than the star of treatment.
I think he just did. I think that's a suspension.
From the defense, he gets extra attention because he's so good.
No. I understand that, but I don't think that the league would give him the star of treatment at any point.
But they did. I think that they should. I think that that's a suspendable move that he made, especially with his track record. You can't do that. I mean, that was a horrible offense.
I just assumed he'd sit a game. I assumed he would get at least a game based on what we've seen from him before.
All right. I mean,
maybe it's because McDonald wasn't injured. The NHL seems to factor that in.
Or maybe it's because he didn't jam him against the... He didn't, go full speed after his head or put,
flush him into the boards.
Right.
Yeah,
he just gave him a cross check. So, no, I don't think Brad Marchand's ever going to get any kind of good treatment from the league. I mean, they fined him the maximum amount. We will be back, Rich. What will we talk about?
Well, a little more news about Rob Gronkowski and the situation that's going on behind the scenes between him and Bill Belichick. Will this lead to a trade? Seems like there's actual little bit of heat that Burt Breer is reporting.
Yeah, a couple teams interested. Toucher and Rich. 985 Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. 617-779-0985. John, go ahead.
Hey guys, how's it going?
What's up?
I just wanted to call. I heard you guys talk about Marchand, and one of the things, it was still provoked. If you look at what McDonald does, McDonald's tried to light him up, and he actually A-framed off the boards and caught him off guard. And when Marchand goes to skate away, McDonald wrapped his legs around Marchand's ankle. So Marchand looked down and just instinctively cross-checked. It should have been fined. It's unfortunate he got him in the mouth. But it was totally provoked by what McDonald did.
I don't think that was an instinctive cross-check. I mean, he could have stepped over the guy. That's something that wasn't bang, bang. No, I mean, so you're saying he was grabbing his leg?
Yeah, it's when people, you see it in younger sports, when kids get lit up on plays, they get upset about it, and they wrap their legs around the guy's ankle so he can't go anywhere. Sometimes they even roll and take the guy down with them. McDonald tries to do that on this play, and Marchand goes to skate away, looks down, sees what he's doing, and cross-checks him. I mean, could he have got him somewhere else? Sure. But, it's Marchand.
And also the guy's on the ice at that point. He's not, and so, yeah, he gets him on the face.
Yeah, he wasn't grabbing his leg. I just watched it again. What he's saying is that, when they got tangled up, McDonald takes his legs and kind of tries to take Marchand down with him by wrapping his leg around Marchand's, but it didn't work, and he's on his back lying there. And at that point, Marchand could have just stepped over him, but he got him in the face.
Hockey's a physical game.
Well, sure it is, but I mean, this was it last year. Who was the guy that Marchand speared below the belt? that got him a couple of games last season.
He speared him right in the groin.
Dotchin, I think his name was. Yeah, Jake Dotchin.
Jake Dotchin.
He spears him right below the belt, and that got him, like, I think, three games.
Yeah.
So that's why I thought that it was going to be almost automatic.
They're different things. Taking your stick and hitting a guy in the balls is different than a cross check.
To the face?
Yeah, when the guy's on the ice and you've been scuffling, I mean, he gives him a little cross check.
You spear a guy in the groin, that's a little worse.
Yeah, I'd say
so. I would
so.
Agree with that.
I'd say that that's...
That looks so damn painful.
Yeah, it's a lot worse. Yeah, it is.
Not only is there intent, I mean, that's just target. That's targeting.
So it's broken nose versus broken balls. Yeah.
You're going to, either seems pleasant. Yeah, when you play, you figure you're going to get a cross check or two. You don't think that you're going to get speared in the nuts. That's what's going on there.
Well, good for the Bruins. So just a $5,000 fine for Marchand. And we've been talking over the last couple days about what's going on with Rob Gronkowski. Hey, Bill Belichick doesn't like your social media posts. How weird is this? That now you've got Bill Belichick, who obviously is upset about checking Instagram or what do you call it? Face Space the other day or a while back? Snap Face.
Yeah.
So he does not like the things that Rob Gronkowski's been saying. There's been talk about whether or not when he is done or doesn't believe a player is all in, whether that is his cue to imagine life without him and start making some moves. And if you don't think that this is somewhat of a reality, Burt Breer, who we had on yesterday and kind of hinted around to all this, said that the Patriots will indeed be getting trade calls on Gronk. As a matter of fact, he said a couple of teams told him in Orlando when he was down there for the owners' meetings that they were indeed planning on making them to Rob Gronkowski. One team that I know Bert threw out there that he said, just imagine, and I'm once again, he's not saying this was one of the teams that indeed said that, but he did place a scenario where the LA Rams would be one of the people making the calls. And to that, I would say, if you're Rob Gronkowski, I mean...
That's heaven on earth if you're Gronkowski.
It's heaven.
Be great.
Because there's a lot of talk about Rob Gronkowski's been saying a bunch of stuff along the lines of, I'm going to return if it's Tom Brady throwing, if he's my quarterback, which obviously throws a wrench into any kind of trade scenarios that the Patriots be throwing out there. However, I have a feeling if they told him that the team that he was going to be traded to was in Los Angeles, he'd have no problem whatsoever with that trade. I think it's one of the few teams that he would be like, all right, well, let's see what happens.
Well, I mean, the team that trades for him is going to have to be a very, very good team because you don't want Gronkowski if you're a middling team.
Well, the 49ers is one that's being thrown out there.
That would be so dumb. The 49ers would be so stupid.
Why?
Because he's old and battered down.
Who, Gronkowski?
Yes.
29, I mean, he's not old.
Yeah, 29 with back problems that go back 10 years.
But his year, he had a great year.
But why would I want a guy for 2 years? San Francisco's not winning a Super Bowl next year.
Or the year after.
And I don't even know if he plays the year after. So I'm getting a guy essentially for a season. I'm trading for a season of... I figure I can get 12 games out of him next year.
I think they believe
that. And hopefully he's healthy for the playoffs.
Now that they've made the investment in Jimmy Garoppolo, I think that if you get him a weapon. No, they're not going to, but they can
make the
playoffs.
But then why would I trade for someone who's not going to win? I can't win a Super Bowl. Why would I give up any kind of collateral for a guy that's... I don't know how much he's going
to
play.
Because there's teams all the time who aren't going to make the Super Bowl who make moves to get their team better.
Not for 29-year-old tight ends that are continually hurt.
I also don't think you're going to have to give up a ton. Because it's sounding more likely that the Patriots would be open to taking a second rounder and a third rounder.
I would not give up a second round pick if I'm the San Francisco 49ers. I would if I'm LA.
Well, you don't have your second round pick now.
Well, true enough.
It has to be a one or a three at this point.
That's right. You gave up Garoppolo.
That's right.
Second round pick. So maybe we'll take a fifth round pick. And you can take your chances.
Asinine Patriots, man.
That's right. They gave up Garoppolo for a second round pick.
Yep.
So who knows? Maybe they'll get a fifth round pick. But I'd have to be, someone who was fairly confident I was going to win to my division, someone who was fairly confident that I could make a big run at the playoffs. Because I would not, in any other circumstances, take Gronkowski. I mean, he's basically a rental at this point in his career. I mean, Jesus, he's threatening to retire right now. I can only imagine what it's going to be like next offseason. I'm going to give up something of any value to get him. I mean, people do dumb things. I mean, people draft Christian Hackenberg in the second round. I mean, people do dumb things. So, I mean, you could tell me he got traded to a team that was middling I mean, the Jets did it years ago when they got Revis and all those players, and then and Marshall and
Well, Decker. The Revis thing worked out well.
Well, yeah, that's why, again, I'm not giving up much for Gronkowski unless I'm like the Vikings. And then, you know, I figure if I get Gronkowski, now we're talking. Now I feel I'm a favorite for a Super Bowl. And didn't Ertz just retire the fantasy? I think Ertz, no, not Ertz, the other one retired.
What are we talking about?
From the Eagles.
Oh,
he was on it was on everyone's fantasy team. Yeah, he's disappointed.
I'm drawing a blank.
So Ertz is there.
Yeah, I'm
Selleck, Brett Selleck.
Thank you.
The 49ers is still kind of interesting because the NFC West is going to be strange this year. The Rams are going to be very good. They've continued to be good. But the Cardinals, what kind of confidence do you have at the Cardinals? Or
Seattle's on their way down.
Seattle's kind of going in the wrong direction. They still have, you know.
If I'm the 49ers and I get Gronkowski, I'm not winning that division. I'm not winning that division no matter what. So unless Goff just craps himself. So I don't think Rob Gronkowski, if you're that team, is turning anything around.